Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
KDK Pittsburgh, listen to what we started.
This is KDKA
of the Westinghouse Electric and Manufacturing Company.
The future really did begin here. The world's first scheduled broadcast was made from Westinghouse's
KDKA.
Listen as we share 100 years of KDKA radio.
Climb aboard our magic carpet for a montage of memories. Radio's finest hour.
Someplace special, KDKA Pittsburgh.
Good evening, I'm Mangino. Thank you very much for taking some time and joining us as we celebrate KDKA turning 100 in 2020. Tonight's broadcast is a very special one as we remember Mike Pintek, an absolutely tremendous talent as a talk show host. Talk show on KDKA going all the way back to 1985. It was 1982 when he first arrived here from Washington, D.C., where he was a news anchor at WASH-FM. Before that, career that started off at KBO Radio in Harrisburg, WNOW in York. And it was while he was at WKBO that he first announced and reported on a problem that occurred at Three Mile Island. There is a nuclear facility that was there. And according to accounts, the traffic reporter let Mike know that there was an issue. There was no steam that was coming from reactors. Mike then jumped on the story, found out that, yes, there was a problem. And it was at that time that Mike, in covering that story, had an encounter with a number of other people and ultimately was able to have lifelong relationships with. One of those individuals is Bill Green. And Bill Green is joining us now on the Disc Institute of Pittsburgh Newsline. Bill, welcome to KDKA Radio once again.
Thank you, Robert. Nice to be with you.
I do appreciate you making time as we remember Mike Pintek. Take us back to Three Mile Island and what you recall of Mike and that time.
This is 40 years ago, Robert, so I'm trying to put it best together. I was in the governor's office when the incident occurred, and to make a very long story short, I ended up at the site later that afternoon, which we didn't know where it was. Now, remember, this is 5 miles from the Capitol, but we'd never heard of Three Mile Island. We never thought about nuclear power. It was one of those things that just happened. That was the beauty of nuclear power. And so we didn't have Google, so we had to find a way to get, and people said, well, it's right by the airport. Well, we knew where that was, so we managed to get there. And that afternoon, there was a gaggle of reporters, and I met Mike there. And he was Mike, as we know him today. He wanted to know what was going on. We had not, the governor was not, there were just several staffers went down to take a look at this whole thing and talk to some of the executives from the company. And Mike was there and was asking questions of the company, and then drifted over to me and others from the governor's office and started peppering us with questions, along with Fred Hansberger, by the way, who was also at that scene, and Jim Gracie, who was the program director at KDKA Radio. So there was quite a lot of history standing there, and myself not included in that. But and so we end up, you know, 30-some years later, I'm running into Mike, or hearing him on the radio here, and I come back from government, and we kind of got to talking to each other, and I was starting my businesses, and he and I reacquainted, and I did some shows with Fred as well, and then when Mike got the afternoon or the noon to three shift, he asked me to come on, and I became kind of a regular guest with him on politics, and then we did. We saw each other outside of the station. He lived up in Cranberry, not far from me, really. We had dinner several times over the years, and became friends like that. And you knew Mike very well, and he was off the air as he was on the air, a very enjoyable, fun person, very knowledgeable, very curious, and very thorough. And I remember when he was buying a car, and he, I won't say the brand, but he was peppering people who happen to own that same vehicle. I did. And so when he got it, he was disappointed in it and blamed it all on me. So that was Mike, and I miss him dearly.
Former vice president of the Pittsburgh market for Entercom Radio, and previous to that CBS Radio, Michael Young, said that Mike Pentek, I knew, was always pretty genuine in his convictions. If Mike had an opinion, he believed in it, and he was that way off the air, too. And he very much was the same person off the air as he was on.
Oh, I agree with Mike on that. Yes, and that may surprise some people, but because it's interesting, I think some of our listeners should know, sometimes there are people on the air that are not the same off the air. They're sometimes better or worse off the air, but you only know them by being on the air, so you have to take words of people who knew them. And Robert and I both knew Mike very well, and we can attest to what Robert just said. He was the same guy on or off the air.
Give us something, a little bit of a personal insight beyond the opinions about Mike that listeners may appreciate.
Tell me where you want to go with that, and I think I know what you want, but I'm not sure.
Just you go to dinner with him. I'm guessing that all the conversations were about politics and business and radio. They were on more of a personal level, and something along those lines.
Yeah, we talked a lot about radio because we'd both kind of grown up in radio. Mike started out in New York. I started out in Butler. And everybody ended up in Pittsburgh, and we talked about how interesting the KDK radio was in bringing us together in a way, and reacquainting us from 20 years before, and that he was he thought that was just a complete delightful serendipity. But when we would be at dinner, and he would order wine. He was quite specific in what he wanted, and a couple of places we went to knew him and recognized him, and always would have the wine available as to what he wanted. Mm-hmm. But he was always very nice to all those. He did stick to his opinion, and we, he and I didn't agree with everything all the time, and we did have our difference of opinion, not yelling or anything like that, but strong differences, and we kind of enjoyed that because we'd laugh about it later. Because we were coming from the same point of view, basically, but we did have differences. We had differences about Jim Gracie. We had differences about Michael Young. We had differences about you. I mean, there was different things that would come up, and we'd both have some discussion about it. And Mike was always discreet in his interactions about other people. He was always fun, and loved his work. He just thoroughly enjoyed his job. I once asked him how he got to work. He said, well, I got out at 79 through the four pit tunnels up Green Track. I said, well, there's a much easier and quicker way to do that. And I outlined to him the way I would go. And he said, well, that's just too long. And we got into a battle about that. It became a continuous battle over 2 years over which way was the shortest. And we never came to a conclusion, by the way. But we did enjoy having that battle constantly.
That's good.
Daily.
Bill Green joining us on the Disc Institute of Pittsburgh Newsline. Bill, thank you for sharing your thoughts about Mike. Do appreciate this.
Yeah, you picked a great representative of KDK Radio and bringing him into the 100th anniversary, Robert.
Thank you very much, Bill. Can't think of doing a series of shows and not focusing on Mike Pintek. Coming up as the evening progresses, we'll get to Senior Judge Bob Zvonik, who had a long-lasting relationship with Mike Pintek on the air and off as well. Sports Director Jeff Hathorn. You wouldn't think there would be much going on between Jeff and Mike Pintek, but there was, especially with the trip over to the Middle East. And two producers that have worked with Pintek over the years, Alyssa Marsico and Robert Sewer. Sir, I'm sure you recognize the names. What was it like working with Pintek on the air and off and behind the scenes? We'll find out coming up next as we remember Mike Pintek, as we celebrate KDK Radio's 100-year anniversary on KDK Radio.
Celebrating 100 years.
Listen to what we started.
KDK Radio with Robert Mangino.
Good evening, I'm Mangino. We were remembering Mike Pintek. Started his career here at KDK in 82, went on to talk radio in 85, started off in the newsroom. In 85, became a talk show host and continued to be that, and ultimately passing away from pancreatic cancer that he was diagnosed with in May of 2017, passed away in September of 2018. And I'd like to get your thoughts about Mike. You're welcome to join us on Facebook. I put up a post about him earlier today. And you can find me, Mangino, on KDK. You can also send me a text, 866-391-1020. Colin says, I remember the first time I heard Mike right after Marty in 2017. He was so great to his audience, and he had a great relationship with everyone on air, no matter their views. May he rest in peace. Let's talk to two of his producers that have worked with Mike behind the scenes and on the air for years, Alyssa Marsico and Robert Sir joining us on the Disc Institute of Pittsburgh Newsline. Welcome back to both of you.
Thanks, Mangino. It's good to be back.
Hey, Mangino.
Hey, Robert. Alyssa, let's start off with you, if we could. There was a special relationship that you had with Mike. Why do you think that was?
I think it was because we were so similar. We, you know, were very vocal about our opinions and we challenged each other, but I think it was a just a way to break up the monotony of the day. You know, like every day we would go on a coffee run or see what food was left over in the kitchen and see what we could like get our hands on to try. But with Pintek, he would always grab food and then save it for after his show by storing it in his desk, and then he would forget about it. And we would find it like weeks later, and it was always disgusting. But it was just something that, like, we did every day. And he really challenged me to make me not only a better producer, but a better person.
Nice. And one of the things I think he appreciated, too, was the fact that you were willing to challenge and kind of like iron sharpening iron kind of a thing, to where you were willing to go and, you know, spar back and forth with him on issues before the show.
Oh, for sure. And the one thing I always tell this story to people and nobody believes me, but there was years ago, there was a story about this sugar daddy, sugar baby website. And Pintek was so curious as to how people got into this or why, how they got on this website. And he looks at me and is dead serious and goes, I'll pay whatever you need to pay to subscribe to this if you make a profile. I want to know what questions they ask. And there I am signing up for a sugar daddy website before a show just so Pintech could learn more about the website before he talked about it.
Oh, my goodness. Robert Sir also with us. Robert, how long did you work with Pintech?
That's a good question, man. You know, I was unfortunately kind of thrust into the Pintech role after we lost Fred Hansberger.
Yes.
And Pintech kind of assumed or seceded Fred in that role from, you know, at the time, I believe it was noon to three.
Mm-hmm.
It was weird off the bat because, you know, you're dealing with the loss of your coworker, and then you have somebody coming in that is totally different in the way that they, you know, would operate and set things up. So, you know, at first, you know, there were some growing pains between Mike and I, but they eventually got, you know, evened out and we became, you know, pretty good friends through the years.
Now, when it comes to prepping for a show, I don't know how many listeners realize what he came to every show prepared with. Robert, describe that stack.
Mike was probably one of the most prepared people I've ever met. He would walk in to the studio typically with a stack of papers the size of a phone book. He was always ingesting knowledge and information, which made him a better talk show host. And, you know, callers would try to, you know, get over on him by, you know, spewing, you know, fake facts or something like that. And Mike would quickly correct them and say, no, that's not true. I have it right in front of me. You know, this is what it says. This is what the Post Gazette or the Trib just put out there with, you know, yesterday or whatever. But Mike was preparing at home. He was preparing in the office. He was always, he was a news sponge. I think that was the best way to put it. He was always, you know, ingesting everything he could that would make him better and more interesting on the air.
Wait, one more thing for you, Robert. What would you say is, when you think of Mike Pintech, what first comes to mind?
Oh, boy. I would say gracious. You know, no matter, you know, Mike and I clashed quite a bit on ideas and the way things should go and this and that, but he always listened and respected your opinion, whether he disagreed with it or not. And he was always, you know, toward the end of the day or whatever, he would always, you know, stop and thank you for the work that you did, which, you know, every now and then, that means something. You know, as you get lost in the monotony of the day, you know, every now and then it's good to hear a thank you that, you know, you're appreciated.
Alyssa, the three-word line that Pintech would always use?
Well, what the hell?
That was so Mike, wasn't it?
I worked with him long enough. I think I had it down pat.
I think you did a fantastic job with that. Absolutely. Alyssa Marsico and Robert Sir, two producers for Mike Pintech over the years, joining us on the Disc Institute of Pittsburgh Newsline. Thank you both very much. Do appreciate it.
You got
it. Thanks, Mangina.
Thank you. All right, stay right there. Jeff Hathorn, his story of going to the Middle East with Mike Pintech. It's coming up next on KDK Radio.
Celebrating 100 years.
Listen to what we started.
KDK Radio with Robert Mangino.
Thank you very much for tuning in to KDK Radio. We are taking a look back, and tonight it's the career of Mike Pintech here on KDKA. It was in 1982 that he came here from a radio station in Washington, D.C., where he was a reporter there. He came here in the newsroom. It was just a few years later, in 1985, that he started his own talk show in the evenings on KDKA, and then continued talk radio as a host on KDKA. A brief stint where he was not here, and then came back in the winter of 2009-2010, and then continued all the way through till he passed away in September of 2018. What a remarkable man. I remember listening to him myself as a young man, as a teenager, listening to KDK radio at nights, and just love what he did there, and love the idea of being able to work with him when I came to KDKA in February of 2010. One of the stories that I was not aware of is how he went to Israel and took our sports director with him. Now, Jeff Hathorn joining us on the Disc Institute of Pittsburgh Newsline. Jeff, thank you very much for joining us this evening. I appreciate this.
Hey, you're welcome. You're welcome.
One of the things that I remember about Mike was how he talked to, he knew nothing of sports and wasn't shy about the idea of saying that sports was not his thing. I am kind of curious about how our sports director ends up in the Middle East with Mike Pinto.
Oh, he was a closet sports guy. Yeah, he wanted to be a sports guy. We would joke about that. I can't tell you how many times I was on his show, and we would joke about how he wanted to be a sports guy. Not really, but he would like to dive into sports topics when they kind of crossed over and became national stories.
Right.
And we would discuss things like that. But so at the time, I kind of had a dual role, and I was not that far removed from being a producer. And they were looking for somebody that could maybe, if needed, you know, do some interviews, that could do a bunch of different things. And I was fortunate enough to go. And, you know, I kind of known Mike in different roles. And at first, he was tough to get to know and to be friends with. But once you proved yourself to him, you know, he would go to the mat for you. And, yeah, so that's – I don't know if everybody else said no. I like to think that's not the case, that I was just the only one that said yes, because no one wanted to be with Mike for 10 days. But, yeah, I think it was because, you know, we had I could do a bunch of different things.
Now, when you say he was tough to get to know, but once you proved yourself, what do you mean?
Well, when I first started there, I mean, you couldn't get the time of day from him. I mean, until you could prove yourself that you weren't just some person, that you just weren't, you know, until you could prove you were worthy of his friendship and acknowledgement, he wouldn't really acknowledge you. I mean, we would have interns that would say, what the hell is with this guy? He won't say hi to me, or he won't talk to me. And that was just kind of Mike. I mean, that if you had, once you proved yourself to him, you could have great conversations. But until that point, he really didn't have time for people, only the people that he knew. Okay. And I don't mean that in a mean way. That's just the way he was.
Yeah, there are just certain personality attributes that people have. And, you know, it's one of those things to where I know what you're talking about, that no one should have ever taken personal. It was just
right.
The way he functioned.
Right. And he was intense, you know, and I think some producers didn't like him because he would get upset when mistakes were made, or when they couldn't get something. And one of the things that Mike used to do that people would get upset would be, he would ask, hey, why don't you try to get the President of the United States on? And there'd be a lot of producers that would say, oh, that's stupid, or why would I try that? There's no chance. And he would get mad because you wouldn't even try. Jason Kaufman was a producer at our station, and he would just say, okay. And they got along swimmingly. Because Jason just had no reason for why you couldn't. He would just try to do it. And at times, he came up with some great guests, but Mike would often get frustrated because he felt like a lot of people would look for the excuse of why not before they would even try, because it was easier to do that.
Yeah, good point. Good point. A great life lesson, too, that you should always try. And if you can't succeed, that's one thing, but just not trying at all, completely different.
Yeah.
Your trip to the Middle East for 10 days, what was that like?
It was amazing, and we went twice. We went one time, the first time we went, and it was sponsored by the Jewish Federation, and they kind of wanted to show that Israel was more than just, you know, it wasn't as bad as people were publicizing. So the thought is, we go over and we do a bunch of stories, and we toured the entire nation. Everywhere from the border with Lebanon to the Dead Sea to Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. The only place we didn't go was Bethlehem, because that was a place you weren't allowed in, that there was too much risk at the time, like the West Bank was. So those are two places we couldn't go, but we went everywhere else. And what was fascinating to me to see Mike, who, I mean, he wasn't young at the time, and man, he was, every day he was up and he was ready. He so wanted to learn. I mean, we would go from one day where we would talk to a Holocaust survivor, and then 2 hours later we're talking to the Prime Minister of Israel, and 2 hours later we're talking to a folk singer, and he could pull all of that off because he was inquisitive about all of it. I remember we went to this dinner, and it's a group of people that are trying to get Palestinians and Israelis to get along, and there's a school, and I forget the name of the town, but the school, the Palestinians and Israelis go to school together, and they hang out together, but once they get to be 18, they go their separate ways and feel compelled to go with their family. Oh. And I remember we're interviewing these kids and about how they get along and about how, well, you know, their friendship's going to end at this point. And he looked at the parents and you know, Mike used to have this, what the hell? And he looked at the parents as we're interviewing these people and says, why the hell can't you get along? Because to Mike, it wasn't about overcomplicating a question or making himself sound smart, where some people ask questions that last forever. It was about getting down to the basics of what's going on here. And I think that's what made him so good. No matter what side you were politically, and yeah, he was a Republican, but mm-hmm. he could see black and white in issues, and he would rip people equally. And he had this ability to get down to the basic of any issue, and he would have the guts then to ask the question as well.
Yeah, a great point, too, on how he would ask questions. Not a lot of build-up to it, trying to position himself as being somewhat great. Just, here's the question, help me figure this out, because I'm not getting it right now.
And Robert, you know, there are times, too, for all of us, where we want to make it seem to the person we're interviewing that we know what we're talking about. So we might drone on for a minute asking the question to kind of show how smart we are, mm-hmm. when all we had to do is just ask why. And Mike would just ask why. And that's, I think, why people on both sides respected him. At times, they didn't like him, mm-hmm. but they would respect him. And I think Mike was always the guy that, after he was done, I don't think he ever had a night where he couldn't put his head on the pillow and think, you know, I wasn't trying to put an agenda here. I was just trying to do my job and to put something out there for the audience. And I think, as simple as that sounds, I think that's what made Mike so good.
When you were in the Middle East, were you guys doing shows once a day, or were you saving all this material for when you came back?
No, and his show at the time was 9 to noon, and we would go live from the Jerusalem Post. There was a studio in the Jerusalem Post, and we would go live Israeli time 4 to 7. So we would go out in the morning, and we would compile interviews. And most of the time we weren't either guests couldn't come in, or we wouldn't bring them in live just for a security concern. So we would go and tape all these interviews, and then we kind of map out how we're going to do the shows. But yeah, we did them live from the Jerusalem Post. And I mean, it was fascinating. There were times we could look out the window of the Post from the bathroom of all places, and you could look into the West Bank and you could see smoke and know that something happened. And it was fascinating for me to be there, first of all, but to be there with Mike. And I'm a little bit more religious than Mike. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I dunked my head in the Jordan River like a baptism. You know, I went to places where the seven fishes, where the rock of the seven fishes. The second time we went during Easter time. And we're at the tomb on Easter Sunday.
Oh, wow.
And I'm trying to hold it all together, and I think what made this work is Mike wasn't as religious, but he was watching my reactions to things, and I think it gave a cool perspective for him. But he wouldn't, you know, just dismiss what I was feeling. He wanted to know why I was feeling and understand why other people were feeling the same thing. But, you know, he was, like I said, he was just great at understanding or getting to the bottom of any story. I mean, we saw some things that were just amazing. I mean, we saw the Stations of the Cross as they as they retrace the steps, and there's all these different religious groups that do it almost in a parade. And we would go and interview these people and ask them why they believe this or that, or why their version was different. And it, I mean, it was fascinating. And, you know, I think sometimes those types of trips can be, may not capture the audience, but he did, I think, a great job of making it so people in Pittsburgh got into what we were doing. And it wasn't just that we were going there to plug Israel, but we were there to tell a story.
Right. He was masterful at combining his journalism career when he was covering news up until 1985 with that that inquisitive nature of just wanting to know and wanting to get all of the details and all the particulars, and then compiling all of that and then taking it over to the talk show side, where he was then able to use all of that information that he got and then form the opinions that he was able to defend like very few others out there are able to defend their thoughts.
You're right. And I credit his success as a talk show host to his background as a journalist. I mean, the skills he learned as a journalist and learning how to read people and how to, you know, and how to, like I said, not complicate, how to study your material. I think sometimes that's not done enough. But because Mike had a journalism background, you know, he wanted background information. You know, when we did these interviews in Israel, I would spend hours before we left and while we were there trying to find information on the people we were interviewing so he had it, so he could ask the best questions and kind of understand where they're coming from. And again, I think Mike had, there are people that are just curious. And he is curious, and not just curious, but then he wants to know why. And, I mean, he was made for what he did. I mean, Hans Berger, I think, was the same way. They were made for their jobs, and we were the beneficiaries of it.
Well said. Aaron from Westview sends in this text. Man, you know, all throughout this pandemic, I just keep thinking how much I'd love to be listening to Mike and get his thoughts and opinions on this period of time. Aaron, hey, don't we all wish that?
Yep, and he would call it like he saw it. Sometimes
yes,
it would be, you know, for the president. Sometimes it'd be against. Sometimes it'd be for, you know, health decisions. Sometimes it'd be against. But it would be an informed decision that he thought was right, and he'd ask the right questions. I agree. Yeah, absolutely.
KDK Radio Sports Director Jeff Hathorn, remembering Mike Pintek. Jeff, thank you very much for your time this evening.
Thank you very much, Robert. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Stay right there. Senior Judge Bob Zavonik, a frequent guest of Mike Pintek, going back a couple of decades and one who turned into a personal friend as well. We hear from him coming up next on KDK Radio.
Celebrating 100 years.
Listen to what we started.
KDK Radio with Robert Mangino.
We are remembering the great Mike Pintek. From 1985 all the way through to his passing in September of 2018, Mike, a talk show host, and most of that right here at KDK Radio, and we are the better for it. During his time as talk show host, he had regularly had Senior Judge Bob Zavonik on his show, and he's joining us now on the Disc Institute of Pittsburgh Newsline. Judge Zavonik, welcome back to KDK Radio.
And how are you doing there, Mangino?
Doing great, Judge. Take us back to when you first went on the air with Mike.
We went on in 96. It's when I had a case where I punished a juvenile at high school. And Mike Pintek was so impressed. Of course, since I did what I did, it caused a lot of people like, you know, wow, I can't believe, that somebody would, you know, do this to a teenager or whatever. And it was very controversial. It ended up being a very fantastic end to a story and all, but Mike was so impressed with it that he brought me down. And then, you know, that was back when we were down there off the point at the Gateway Towers.
Yes.
And that was, you know, that's the first time when I walked in. And I did the shows down there, not Ask the Judge type shows, but he would call and actually, and I'd have to correct him, he'd say, we got the legal advisor for KDKA, you know, Judge Bob Zavonic. And I'd be like, well, I'm not a lawyer, you know, but we did the show. He brought me down there to just find out all the particulars of the case. And from that moment on, you know, I was going down once every couple months, and we went to different satellite, stations. We, you know, for the ball games with the Pirates, when the 3 years that they made it to the playoffs, you know, we did this show outside Atria's, and, you know, we were kind of like you and I are getting to be, you know, if he needed me. I was there, and away it went.
And this became a great friendship to where when Mike got diagnosed with pancreatic cancer and was in his last couple of months, you were with him at times.
Yes. And I, you know, I can say this, you know, I was probably, aside from Linda, maybe a family member or whatever. I believe that I was one of the only ones that he told. We had after our meeting, after our show, we went in the back air and, you know, he told me what it was, what was going on. We discussed letting the public know immediately. And, boy, what a brave man he was, because he did not want his public to know. And he carried that for 6-8 months, Mangino, before, you know, and he was enduring the treatment. And then when he finally did let everybody know, the amount of support that came in, it brought tears to your eyes, the love that the Pittsburgh area people had for that man, you know?
Yes. Senior Judge Bob Zavonic. Go ahead, sir.
Well, and when I retired, about 3 months after I retired, they had this surprise, and this was towards the end of Mike's life, but they had a surprise retirement party for me, February, something like that. They wanted to make it not seem like, you know, it was right after, you know, January 1st. And Mike and Linda, they were there. And it was packed. I had 200 people that, you know, showed up from D.A. Zappala, you know, a bunch of everybody. And Mike was sitting there, and you could tell he was in pain. And, you know, he came up to me, and he sat there, and he actually ate. I think he forced, you know, himself to eat there, and he was sitting with Moon Mullins and Grossman and a lot of the friends of mine that were there, and we had a very nice night.
Senior Judge Bob Zavonic remembering Mike Pintek. Just got this text from Jeff Hathorn. Mike loved cats, and he did. And Jeff wrote, and as we started talking, the cat came out of nowhere and sat next to me, and then in my lap the rest of the interview. Wow. Remembering Mike Pintek right here on KDK Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.